immersive audio podcast. In conversations with industry thought leaders, practitioners, artists, academics, and entrepreneurs, discussing all aspects of this rapidly evolving industry, from art, science, and business to practical insights and project case studies. We aim to inform, educate, explore, and unite the community.
Hello and welcome to the Immersive Audio Podcast with me, your host, Oliver Cadell. Welcome back to a two-part series on Treble Technologies, the world's leading acoustic simulation platform, whose mission is to enable a better sounding world. In this part two, we're going to dive more into audio product design and the close collaborative process between the developers and the software users. We'll cover the emerging market of synthetic data generation for machine learning and talk about the future roadmap for Treble. We continue with the Chief Product Officer, Jesper Petersen.
My role at Treble Technologies is the Chief Product Officer, which involves thinking about the high-level vision of our products. And in the day-to-day, because we're not a huge company, it is also kind of thinking about the smaller parts of the product vision and the product management and the products, essentially. A part of my role is also actually developing these features and kind of being on the development team. That was especially when we were a younger company, when we were just few. We started out in the basement of the university here in Iceland. And of course, in that setting, you're doing everything. I was doing the accounting and the payroll at that point, writing grant applications, doing all the things you do as a startup and making all the kinds of mistakes doing that as well, because we didn't know anything about it. We quickly learned, though. From my perspective, you know, Finner was coming in with the theory, and I had been working for a while on application. When I finished my studies, I went on to be an engineer, a developer in the hearing aid industry, specifically developing the hardware of the hearing aids, kind of connecting the microphones and the speakers inside of it and making everything play together. I rather quickly moved on from being a developer in this to being a simulation specialist. It was a relatively large company, a large development group. You know, we were doing simulations to figure out when the hearing aid would squeal. So modeling the feedback, the vibroacoustic feedback. So both like the vibration that's transferred through the shells of the hearing aid and the pressure in the air that kind of loops back to the mics. And we were doing virtual prototyping of microphone placement, for example. In that process, we really wanted to make this so that it's not just a simulation specialist that sits in the corner and does this, but it's something that every developer in this organization were doing it. So kind of democratizing the simulations. I think that was something I came into Treble, kind of the experience of using simulations of acoustics and sound. That experience has been put into the products, essentially. How we can democratize the use of simulations of acoustics. So it's not just the simulation specialist of the organization that does this, so it can have a profound impact on the products that's being built, whether it's a building or it's a set of training data or it's whatever you can imagine that people can build.
Can you talk about your relationship with your customers and early adopters? I can only imagine that collaboration was instrumental during that initial phase.
Treble's relationship and our relationship with our early adopters and our customers has really been instrumental to us getting where we are. We have constantly been kind of course correcting ourselves with the feedback that we've been getting, that we've been seeking from early adopters. And kind of right from the beginning, it's been quite overwhelming, the kind of the attention and also kind of the commitment that we've gotten from all of these people out there. When you read these long comments of someone who's tried the product and really given themselves not only the time to try out a brand new product, in some cases, you know, you're just beta testing something or you're just kind of trying this thing that you just pulled a trial of. And then you write like 5 pages in a Word document explaining exactly what it is that you want from the tool. It's super inspiring and mind-blowing that people will take the time on something you've built. And of course, we spend all of our time on this. To anyone who's tried and given us feedback, huge shout out. And to anyone who's trying products and kind of giving your honest feedback on something, this is just invaluable to someone developing a product, essentially.
Next, I sat with the UX developer Auschluch to discuss the importance of user experience design and how Treble went above and beyond to deliver not only on the functionality of the platform, but also on the ease of navigation and aesthetics.
So my name is Auschluch Sólilja Gísladóttir, which is a mouthful, but I usually go by Auschluch. While I lived in Canada, they called me Ace, which is much easier to remember and pronounce. And I am a user experience front-end developer at Treble Technologies. Finner had messaged me on LinkedIn and asked if I wanted to join him for coffee and see what Treble was about. And I kind of was curious to know. So I joined him for coffee and hour later, I was kind of decided that I wanted to join Treble. He has a really good sales pitch, and it's a very interesting product to work on. He was so focused on creating amazing workflow and making the user's experience the forefront of the selling points of Treble. So he hooked me in immediately. So UX entails what the user experiences throughout the application that you're developing. So you talk about the UX, UI. UI is more focusing on the aesthetics or the visuals on the websites or the web apps. The UX is what the user experiences and how they complete tasks through your application. We have front-end and back-end and then full stacks. Back-end developers, they kind of handle the databases, the data that the user inputs into the applications. And then the front-end developers make that data come to life within the application. So everything you see and can interact with, that's what the front-end developers code, usually using JavaScript in combination with HTML and CSS. So my role on a regular basis involve a lot of meetings. And then the second part would be a lot of just coding, just get your hands dirty implementing what we have been meeting about. Because we're a small company, we don't have maybe the resources to do like extensive user research. So we rely on user data. We rely on our insiders community, which are Treble enthusiasts that we have gathered together. So we get a lot of feedback and data from them that we can then use to make informed decisions that help us make the right decisions. I put a lot of focus on accessibility. That's another thing that I kind of bring in with my UX perspective, because we want our product to be accessible so more people can use it and enjoy it. And when I talk about accessibility, it's like color contrast. It's so you can navigate with your keyboard instead of necessarily using your mouse. It's allowing screen readers to navigate the page. Even simple things like that help us reaching more users and make it more viable product for people to use. And then I design user flows. Our users want to complete tasks or do a certain thing within our app. And then we want to have a flow for them to go through, for them to successfully, in a pleasant way, complete their tasks. So it's kind of three things: accessibility, analytics, and then defining the user flows. The UX matters a lot for everything, everywhere, but especially for a tool like the Treble platform. Our vision is to make the world a better sounding place, and we do so by giving people the best tools possible, and the best tools have a great user experience. So we have to kind of focus on that. A great user experience allows you to do your work more efficiently and in a more satisfactory way. So if we can enable you to do your work in a shorter time, or even provide you with more accurate results, you can have more free time, or you can just give more value to the world. So it's extremely important for the audio industry, I would say. It's such an interesting thing working for Treble, because when people ask you, like, what does Treble do? Everyone understands the importance of good acoustics. So even like if you go to a restaurant with bad acoustics, doesn't matter how good the food is, you're going to leave with like a bad taste in your mouth because you couldn't have a decent conversation with your partner. So we are making a product for specialists that have certain background. They are used to certain tools. If we can triumph in user experience, that's a win for them and for us. We have to take into account that they are used to certain workflows or certain ways to navigate other tools. So we have to take that into account when we design our tool. So we want it to be intuitive, but at the same time, we have to keep in mind it's not a product for everyone. It's a product for specialists. Doesn't mean that it can't be visually pleasing, and it doesn't mean it has to be have like a thick manual coming with it. We want it to be intuitive or easy to use. So we kind of rely on familiar patterns, such as the navigation. We don't have to invent a new navigation system. It should be straightforward and take the cognitive load off new users. So coming into the product, it should be very evident of what you can do and how you navigate it. And then as you kind of drill down or go into more specific tasks, like setting up a simulation, then it can become a bit more complex, but it doesn't mean it has to be hard to use. So we rely on familiar patterns, not necessarily similar or same products are doing, but also just well-established applications out there. Doesn't have to even be in the same sector. Just something that people in general have interacted with or used before. You can take those patterns, adapt it to your use case, and that takes a lot of the load off. Doesn't mean the product is simple, but it shouldn't be hard to use though.
There are so many aspects to the platform. How do you balance the functionality of the software with also making it easy to navigate?
Key things to have in mind when we are balancing functionality and aesthetics is a conversation. We bring a lot of different people with different backgrounds to the table. So it's the front-end team, back-end team, product managers. Then we have some in-house experts that are audio engineers. So we kind of all sit down and we make our case, like how should the feature behave? How should it look? And that's kind of the starting point. But we always keep in mind that the user experience, the functionality triumphs everything. We're just very lucky that we've been working with a talented designer that designed a very cool kind of base for our product. The color palette and the components. It's kind of weird to say, but it has been pretty easy, I would say, to balance these things because we are all on the same boat that the user experience is the most important thing to focus on. And then when we decided the flows or where the feature lives and how it fits into the existing flow of things, like a puzzle fitted into the user experience. It's an ongoing conversation that we iterate over, get feedback from. Again, like we have in-house experts, which have been extremely valuable for like this quick iterative process that we have established. And then we have our insiders community. We publish features to them first, get feedback, have them test it out. Then we launch it to the world. And then we get feedback and sometimes it's going back to the drawing board.
Can you talk about any features that you're still planning to add or potentially expand on the platform's functionality in general?
So we've been working really hard on optimizing the performance of the oralizer. That's where you can listen to your oralizations and you can step into the model, you can look around. And at the same time, we are rendering binaural audio while you move your head around. It takes a lot of processing power and we are running everything within the browser. So it does have limited resources. So what we are working very hard right now on is to optimize the user experience when you are inside of the oralizer and when you are listening to your simulation results. So we have done a couple of things, memory management and using something like web workers to kind of optimize the performance, which eventually like creates a better user experience. And so the problem comes when you have multiple sources and multiple receivers and you have more and more files to download and then you can upload your own sound to it. So it does introduce some challenges, but also a lot of opportunities on things that we can improve and things we know that we want to excel on. And now we have the shareable oralizations, which is even cooler. And actually what's really interesting, like we're going from our tool for specialists, but then when you share oralization, you're sending it to or sharing it with someone that's not a specialist, maybe. Someone that's not an audio engineer. So the shareable version is a little bit different. And we spent a lot of time optimizing the control panel. Like, where is the play button? They don't know what receivers are. They don't know what sources necessarily are. What even is a simulation for someone that hasn't been working within Treble? So giving them different context, adding more emphasis on where they are coming from, which is just like they want to see and hear the sound, but they don't necessarily need to know what a simulation is or what a receiver is. So we use a little bit different language and we emphasize the control panel to be more in line with other video players, just creating familiar patterns for them to fall back on. There's a feature that we will be working on, but it's not ready. But I think it's going to be a nice add-on, so I can tell you about that. So right now you can define sources and receivers. So you add your sources, you can rotate the sources, but it would help if you could actually look from that source while you're positioning it. You can't do that right now. in a couple of weeks, we're going to be implementing so you can actually step into the source. You can see where you actually like rotated it to or where it's orienting. And that brings a challenge, like how do you exit that view? How do you like go in and out of the source? That's another thing that we are working on. And I think it's going to be a nice thing to add on while you're setting up your sources and receivers. The sources are expensive resource because you're going to be running a simulation for each source that you set up. So you want to adjust and position your sources very carefully. While you're setting up your simulation, you have maybe three sources and you want to know exactly where your source is pointing towards. Before you even run the simulation, you want to be able to step into the model and see like, oh, okay, so the source is in the direction that I actually wanted it to be. So it's kind of like confirming and increasing the trust in that you're setting up your simulation in the correct way.
Next, I spoke to the commercial chief officer, Gunnar Hoxson, about the emerging demand for synthetic data generated by the Treble platform and used to train machine learning models across the industry.
It is certainly very interesting and accelerating, to be honest. When we started the company focusing on the building industry and automotive industry and doing high quality simulations of audio for these industries, but we are then suddenly being contacted by many of the biggest companies in the world with this synthetic audio part. And of course, when these kind of names start popping up, you start scratching your head, and we're constantly trying to figure out how we can make this a business case for us, both so that it's scalable for us, but also so that it's fair and flexible for the customer. It's a unique value that we're able to bring, but still, it is also from the customer side kind of unclear exactly how much value there is in using the synthetic data, because nobody has really been doing that before from the psychoacoustic perspective. And it's also a challenge just to kind of keep the focus, you know, and that's for many startups, is to maintain the focus on the plans you've already done while there are opportunities popping up around you. But I think we've done that very well, and we now have a product in the market that is answering this call of a product that generates synthetic data for audio tech companies and whoever would like that. For example, a very interesting use case is there's a company that makes, among other things, like these smart speakers that picks up your voice and you can use your voice to ask it to do things and things like that. There are many such speakers in the market, and it's a growing market, certainly. But an issue with them is, for example, if you have two of these devices in your building, they might have a problem when you're saying, hey, maybe to increase the volume of the speaker in the bathroom, but it's the speaker in the kitchen that picks it up. So the algorithms aren't good enough at locating the source. So that's just a problem. It's pretty common in this space. An example of an algorithm that is trained by machine learning, but could obviously be better. A company like that might have to, you know, to generate data to make these algorithms better. They might need to go out and, let's say, measure 200 rooms to get data to try to train the algorithm into being better at this particular problem. And going out and measuring 200-300 rooms with engineers and all the machinery and equipment needed for that is extremely time-consuming and expensive. But us being able to simulate and generate this high-quality audio scenes in bulk kind of solves a big part of that problem for them, because they can just get a data set of 300 restaurants, for example. And then they can use that, place these virtual versions of these speakers in these synthetic rooms, and use that to train the equipment. We actually have AI to generate the rooms. So we kind of script certain, you know, recipes of rooms. You know, they might need to have this volume and this should be the smallest detail in the room, and it needs to have a reverberation time of this and this, and we can input certain features like this. And then we can generate automatically, based on these scripts, a whole lot of just rooms, which we then use for acoustic simulations by choosing the materials and things like that. But that's something that the users do, essentially. So we are able to supply them with rooms, which then they are able to use for their data generation. We have a very nice database already of spaces, but you know, there are constantly popping up requests of new types of spaces, and then we have to go into generating that. So it's not done manually by us. We have to make the recipe and run it and do all of that. And then the packets for the end customer is both the spaces and access to the simulation engine to simulate their devices inside those spaces.
How do you access the Treble platform, and what are the available subscription plan options?
For the Treble Acoustic Simulation Suite, users usually come in via a free trial. That's the first touch they have with us in most cases. You can just sign up for that, and that gives you a fully fledged access to the software with, you know, no limitations on functionality or anything like that. And you're just free to use it for 1 month. For organizations, they can add as many users as they want during this period. And of course, from our side, this way, we're hoping that, you know, as many users as possible see the value of the simulation tool and actually want a seat when they go into the business model. The business or license model is we have two types of licenses. We have what we call a flexible license. That's kind of a pay-as-you-go license. It's catered towards perhaps more occasional users, like smaller consultancies that might do acoustic simulations occasionally and don't want to pay a high monthly subscription fee. So they just pay a relatively low amount for the access, and then they need to buy simulation tokens to be able to run simulations. When you actually sign up, you get a few tokens to get going, but as they get depleted to use the tool, they might need to purchase more tokens. So we're trying to cater to these occasional users and smaller companies this way. And then on the other side, we have what we call an unlimited license, and that's for more kind of power users that use acoustic simulations very regularly. And in those cases, the license is more expensive, but you don't have to think about usage at all. So you're just free to simulate as much as you want. And the usage is a very important aspect of this for us, as to be able to run these simulations or solvers, we need to buy access to these high performance cloud clusters in the cloud. People might not realize, because it is audio but not video, they might think that these aren't that computationally heavy calculations, but they are very, especially if you're using the wave-based solver, which is essentially solving the differential equations that describe the wave motion of sound and its interaction with the space or the materials in the rooms. You need a lot of processing power. And it is traditional that if you want to go high in frequency in such simulations with more traditional tools, you know, simulations might take weeks. So, but us having, you know, written our code from the perspective from the beginning of using and utilizing these cloud clusters to the greatest extent, are very efficient in using these resources. And thus we are able to do this much, much faster than what is currently out there, or, you know, has been up until this point. You will always need the connection to the internet. You send your simulation. When you start the simulation, what you're doing is you're sending the data through the system to a cloud that we use that crunches the simulation on many, many very powerful computers. And thus you're able to do this so fast with this high fidelity.
Next, reflecting on what Treble accomplished as a team so far, I wanted to ask, what is the future perspective and the roadmap for the company going forward?
In my opinion, the future for Treble is very bright. I would say that it's entirely in our hands to mess this up. The technology we have, it's located at the intersection of technological revolutions like AI or digital twins and the metaverse. All these are growing, you know, exponentially, these markets. And we have technology that has application in all of these fields, and it's very strong, and we're very well covered when it comes to, you know, patents and things like that. So if we do this correctly, I think there are opportunities for us to do well. Building industry, the fact is that the general public and also companies are becoming more and more aware of the importance of acoustic quality for various things, you know, whether it's productivity and comfort or just health in general. This then has pushed legislators into introducing standards and requirements in many countries. So, you know, you can't really build a building in some countries without making sure that it fulfills certain acoustic standards. For a company like us that has this highly efficient, easily implemented solution with high quality simulations that can answer the question of whether they fulfill those standards before the building is built is valuable. That part, the first thing we wanted to do is looking good. But then synthetic data use case, you know, AI, you know, has been on people's lips for decades, but it's perhaps more in the past 3 years that it's kind of really taken off. And at the core of machine learning and artificial intelligence is data. It's just the key aspect. You can't train machine learning algorithms without having data. And I actually saw a report from Gartner that is, I believe it's by 2028, where they say the use of synthetic data will be more than the use of real world data. So synthetic data is growing a lot. And us, as far as I know, being the only company that is able to generate these bulk audio scenes for this purpose, I think that can become very valuable. And I'll see that as a big opportunity for us. And certainly the traction we've been getting for that use case is promising. And another use case, you know, a future opportunity is we want to be able to supply developers of, you know, what you, I guess you could call metaverse applications. You know, those could be virtual training software or virtual music or virtual concerts or conferences or just virtual meetings. In all of these cases, it's becoming more and more apparent that the quality of the audio has a big impact on the immersion of the user and how long they feel comfortable staying in the experience and things like that. And we want to take our technology and package it in such a way that it can be as a middleware, as a sound engine, essentially, into other products. In cases where the importance of perceptual authenticity or realism is important, you might be a surgeon training via a VR headset, and in that case, it might be very important for you that the audio is high quality, or you might be in an important virtual meeting, you know, using an avatar, and you want to be sure that, you know, it's a comfortable experience for you and maybe your prospective customer or whoever it might be. You want to feel like the sound is coming from the right direction in this experience and it matches the environment you're in, the virtual environment. For these use cases and more, of course, we haven't seen the end of where this might go in the future, but we at least want to make sure that we make a product based on our technology that will allow those who want perceptual authenticity and realism in their virtual experiences to be able to look towards us as the sound engine for that particular software.
We're not done developing our engine. We're not done developing our user interface to do the simulations in the web app. We're definitely not done building the SDK. At the core, there will always be the simulation of sound. We're going to develop this engine and explore the use cases of it. I've been thinking very much about AI, of course, like everyone does these days, you know, like how we can use this, how we do more than be supplying the data, but also using it in our product. I'm not sure I've completely figured this out yet, we've completely figured out how it's going to be used in our product, but definitely it will be in the future. Whether it's, you know, aiding you in setting up your simulations or aiding you in kind of processing the results that you get from it. But I think it can be used much more than just the training data that's going into ML models. You'll definitely see more of this in the future of Treble.
If I take a moment to reflect, it's certainly been a lot of progress since it was me and Jesper in that windowless basement 3 years ago. First and foremost, I'm so happy and proud to be working with all these great people here at Treble. And that's kind of the best part of the job. And I wake up every morning quite excited to go to work, both to all the kind of fun challenges that we're addressing and also just working with all these great people. Also kind of our external partners and collaborators and customers and so on. You know, it's really fun to work with all these people to address state-of-the-art problems. And we've been lucky to get some awards along the way, which was very exciting. Last year, we won a startup competition at conference called ICA SSP, International Congress on Acoustics, Speech and Signal Processing, which is a huge tech conference, kind of state-of-the-art machine learning signal processing conference. And we won a startup competition there, which I thought was absolutely amazing. We were nominated as tech champions of 2023, according to the Financial Times here in the fall. That was quite amazing as well. Yeah, and we've secured investment from very prominent investors that have helped us a lot along the way. Yeah, it's been quite a journey so far, but again, we're just getting started. We've managed to build an amazing team here at Treble. That's kind of without doubt the thing that I like most about my job, is just working with all these fantastic people, and very proud of this great team that we've built. And it's a very tight-knit group, and it's a very passionate group. We're very excited about what we're building, and we're sort of building it from scratch and kind of out to conquer the world of sound simulation. And we are expecting to grow the team in 2024, perhaps even substantially. If anyone's listening who's interested in Treble, then, you know, by all means, reach out to us. We're always looking for good talent. And because we're here in Iceland, that brings a lot of benefits. It's a very nice ecosystem and so on for startups, but it's also some challenges relating to talent. We've at least certainly drained the acoustic simulation specialist talent pool here in Iceland, which is not a very big pool. But we've been very fortunate to get people from abroad. So almost half of the staff here, not from Iceland, especially the sort of domain specialists and so on. Like 15 nationalities here in the office, you know, considering we're 35 people in total, then that's quite a lot of nationalities, mostly from, let's say, mainland Europe, but also from the US and other places in the world as well.
What piece of advice could you give to anyone that helped you in your journey so far?
Probably the first thing that comes to mind is just to find great people to work with. Not try to solve all the problems yourself, but actually collaborate with people. That has been absolutely the cornerstone of the progress that has been made in my career, all the way going back to DTU, working with fantastic professors and so on, and all the people in the industry that I've been working with, and then all the people here at Treble, our board, and everyone. You know, it's just a collaborative journey, and I think that's kind of crucial for success.
As we're closing the episode, I'd like to thank Finn Urpin and the Treble team for their warm hospitality, insightful discussions about Treble and the world of acoustic simulation. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
If you enjoy the podcast and would like to show your support, please consider becoming a Patreon. Not only are you supporting us, but you will also get special access to bonus content and much more. Find out more on our official Patreon page, www.patreon.com/immersive audio podcast. You've been listening to the Immersive Audio Podcast, hosted by Oliver Cadell and Monica Bowles. This episode was produced by Oliver Cadell and Emma Reese and included music by Rhythm Scott. Got an idea for an episode or want to comment on something we've discussed recently? Drop us an email at podcast@1618digital.com or find us on Twitter at @iaudiopodcast. If you've enjoyed our show, head to our page on iTunes and leave us a review and rating. It really helps us out. Visit immersiveaudiopodcast.com to access show notes and other episodes, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening.
Looking for more audio-related podcasts to listen to? We're part of the Audio Podcast Alliance, featuring a hand-picked selection of the very best podcasts about sound. Be sure to hear the latest episodes from our friends in the community at audiopodcast.org.